Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. All week long, we've been talking about relationships, the keys to healthy relationships, the keys to sustained relationships. And today we're going to talk about probably one of the most common, I suppose, books and ideas behind maintaining a healthy relationship, and that is the love languages.
It is well known?
Yeah.
By some. The reason we're talking about relationships mm-hmm. is comes under the broader category of
right.
love,
right?
Which we're talking about this week in preparation for that national holiday next Wednesday.
Valentine's Day.
Which is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So we thought in preparation for Valentine's Day, we ought to take a look at love, particularly relationship.
Right.
Adult relationships.
Right.
Impart some words of wisdom to help listeners get better at loving and being loved.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk, we're pulling some stuff from an article that's listed right. in the show notes. It's from Standard Media. And actually it's from Standard Media Kenya, which is interesting. It's our first time checking out the Kenya, version or edition of Standard Media. Right. But also we included a link to the Five Love Languages actual website, because right. they have an online test that you can take mm-hmm. there to learn what your language is.
Right. And we would encourage, yeah. I would encourage you. I love this concept.
Right.
Okay. This very well-known mm-hmm. concept that I didn't know about until we did this.
Yeah.
Is it really well-known?
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
And Gary Chapman mm-hmm. is the author. He's the
right.
Developer or mm-hmm. initiated this whole concept of love languages. And what I like about this is it really helps to clarify,
right.
and it gives you something you can work with.
Right.
So I really like that it when I was reading it, I thought about couples that
right.
I see, and I thought, wow, this would be really helpful with some of those couples, because absolutely. That's all they're struggling with.
Right.
They just speak two different languages. They really like each other,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking about one couple in particular. They really are devoted to each other, but you can see them talking past each other.
Right.
And I thought, this would help to clarify, because they can take the test.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're going to mention the test. They can take the test, get to know what their love language mm-hmm. is, and it would clarify many of the struggles they're having.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, this perspective, this idea that within a relationship, the two partners could be coming from different positions, two different places, or speaking two different languages, has been around for a long time. I mean, you remember Gray's
Men are from
Mars, women are from Venus.
That was the same concept.
Very yeah. similar concept, yeah. right. Yeah. And the idea that, you know, we're from two different planets, and we have to figure out how to communicate with one another. We
right.
have to figure out how to bring, you know, everything together so that, you know, we meet each other's needs.
And we talked about that in that course we used to teach
right.
at USF, the communication course, where we used to talk about how men think and talk and how mm-hmm. women think and talk.
Right.
It wasn't just focused on love. It was how we solve problems
right.
and how we deal with things. But same idea.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So with the love languages, as I mentioned, there's a website that's linked in the show notes. It's just Five Love Languages, mm-hmm. The number five, lovelanguages.com. And on that, you can take the love language quiz.
Right.
I think there's like 30 questions or something
right.
like that. Mm-hmm. And it will help sort of guide you and inform you as to what type of language
right.
You speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's five different languages.
Right.
There's the words of affirmation, the quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and gifts. And so it kind of goes through these five areas, and when you take the quiz, it'll tell you which areas you're strongest in, and which areas you're weaker in. And it's not like
a strength or a weakness. It's more like, this is the way that I prefer to communicate, and this is the way that I don't typically communicate. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's questions like, which would you prefer? words of appreciation from your partner, or a token of appreciation, right, or a small gift from your partner? Mm-hmm. Which one would you prefer? And it kind of goes through and differentiates between these five different languages based on what you prefer and enjoy.
I'm smiling because I've been married for, I don't know,
ever
120 years or something like that. And I thought this would have been a great wedding present. This would have been a great wedding gift because mm-hmm. I could have avoided a lot of heartache mm-hmm. along the way if I had known this years and years and years ago.
Right.
Probably before Gray wrote his book. But this would be a great wedding present. If you knew this, mm-hmm. It would help you avoid a lot of volcanoes in your marriage. You
know? Right. Volcanoes, heartache, frustration.
And misunderstandings. Because it's so, as I read this stuff, I just smile as I'm reading it because, of course, this occurs in every marriage, right, but certainly did occur in mine.
Right.
So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to self-disclose today.
All right. Okay. Well, that sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to that. So,
so I hope nobody from my home is listening to this, but I'm going to self-disclose. So hang on to your hats.
So let's talk a little bit about the five languages,
right. Yeah,
and then we'll kind of dig into each one as we go. So the first one is words of affirmation.
Right.
And so the idea here is that your preferred method of communicating affection, love, generosity,
right,
mm-hmm. enjoyment with one another is through words.
That's right. Words of affirmation.
Right.
You look good in that.
Right.
You look really good today.
I really like spending time with you.
That's right. I'm so happy we met each other, mm-hmm. Those sorts of things to affirm the other person.
Right.
We take each other for granted. And the longer we're married, the more we take each other for granted. And we stop saying those things.
Right.
You know, when you're dating, when you're engaged, when you're forming a relationship, you're very complimentary, you're very mm-hmm. thoughtful, you're very considerate. After a few years, those things begin to wane.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't.
Right.
You know, you should always be affirming the other person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so words of affirmation, again, is more communicative verbally.
Right.
And so as we go through some of these different ones, you're going to see that it's all about the way, obviously, because they're languages, the right. way in which you're communicating mm-hmm. affection or appreciation. And so this one is through words themselves, actual
right.
words of appreciation.
Right. And, you know, the other, there's a little bit of overlap here, but when somebody does something,
right.
you know, like somebody does, and you forget, because let's say it happens to be the woman's job to cook every day, okay?
Right.
You stop complimenting that,
right.
you know, but every once in a while, mm-hmm. mention that, hey, your cooking is still good. After 20 years, I still love it.
Yeah.
After 40 years, I still love it.
You still got
you're
it.
You're still working. You just get better and better, and I really appreciate everything you're trying to do.
Right.
You know, or we're going on a ketogenic diet, or mm-hmm. we're gonna eat fewer carbohydrates, and I just can't tell you how much I appreciate your effort
right.
in doing this. But we forget to say those things.
Right, right. So. Now, the second is quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unlike words of affection that are exactly that, the words, quality time is just being together.
Right.
You may not even be saying anything, may not even be touching each other. You just may be
right.
sitting in the same room, sort of enjoying the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and that quality time together, it oftentimes includes undivided attention.
Right.
It includes, really... not just sort of sitting there watching the same program or anything like
right.
that, but, you know, just that actual engagement of
right.
of looking at each other, talking to each other to some extent,
right.
And in direct time together.
Right. As you say, we typically think of a couple sitting on a sofa watching
right.
a movie together,
right.
you know, and dozing off and, you know, sleeping near each other. But it's more than that.
Right.
When your partner's talking to you, that you are completely attentive.
Right.
You know, you're giving your undivided attention
right.
at that moment. Because again, we tend to half listen when our partners
mm-hmm.
are talking. So it's not just proximity.
Right.
It's also that very attentive
right.
Attention that you give each other, that
right.
active listening.
Right. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about, you know, parent-child interactions,
right.
especially with teens,
right.
that, you know, when your partner approaches you to you know, you won't believe what happened to me at work today. You know, hold on a second, let me turn off my phone and let me put my phone away so that, because I want to hear this.
I'm going to pay attention. I want to be completely attentive to what you're telling me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that it's not necessarily because they're giving you compliments or sharing their appreciation for you. It's just that in normal everyday conversation, you are giving that undivided attention so that you can enjoy that quality time together.
Right. And we're talking about couples because that's what we're talking about this week. But of course, all of this applies to every relationship, and especially with your children.
Right.
And your children are going to learn this from you. Mm-hmm. They're going to internalize what you do with them.
Right.
And it's likely that they're going to have similar love languages. They're going to learn your love language.
Right.
Just like they learn the language that you speak.
Absolutely.
And what's number three?
Gift giving.
Gift giving.
So.
Okay, I'm going to start to laugh now.
You are?
Yes.
Okay.
Because in my house...
That's the language. That's the predominant
language that we speak. That's our first language, second language, and third language.
So gift giving is, again, just that. It's the idea of appreciating the communication of affection and appreciation through small tokens. It doesn't have to be big gifts or anything like that. It's just, hey, I was on your way home, you stop and get flowers, or you stop on the way home and get, you know, chocolate or something for your significant other that you know that they're going, that they like, but you're getting that as your way to communicate affection.
I said I was going to self-disclose. You know those, what are they called? Frosties or, you buy them at 7-Eleven.
Polar Pops?
No, they're beverages.
Oh, slushies.
Slushies, right? My kids love slushies, and so does their mother. And that's a gift, because I would stop occasionally and get, when it's real hot in the summertime, I would stop and get slushies. And it was like I was bringing in, I don't know, some guy truffles from France or something. And it was just these little slushies. I'd bring three little ones home. They would just, they thought, man, what a nice dad. He brings us slushies, right? But
that's perfect, because there's that 7-Eleven right on their way to your place.
So they don't thaw out before I get home.
Yeah.
Right?
They're still cold
and
everything.
They would be so happy. They'd just be thrilled. Oh, dad got slushies and it's hot today. So it doesn't take a lot.
No.
Okay?
No.
But the other thing that struck me is, and I'm horrible about this. When people give me gifts, I'm always embarrassed.
Right.
I have no idea why.
Right.
But I'm always embarrassed. But what they're saying, when they give you gifts, what they're saying is, I care about you.
Right.
And it's that you should be responding to. You know, this a gift is like, for them, a gift is words of affirmation. It's a compliment. And I never thought of it. I always felt guilty because I'm not doing anything special. Why would you give me something? Why do I deserve this? But that's not what they're saying.
Right.
They're saying, I care about you.
Right.
I love you. And that's what you should be responding to.
Right.
You know, when my wife gives little cards and, you know, I should be responding and saying, oh, she likes me. Instead of, damn, she's emptying out the bank account. So I should see it as affirmation, right?
You should. And you know, and it's different. I'm similar. I certainly like receiving things.
Sure.
But I, you know, to me, it's a, it's oftentimes a fun thing. It's a, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to, you know, here, this is how I'm going to show how much I appreciate you. Let me get something for you. Because I find that very difficult. I find it very difficult to, you know, some people are just so good at, we work here with someone here in the office who is just, she loves Christmas and she loves... And she is so good
spot on.
They are so good at getting just the perfect gift.
Right.
And I'm not good at that. You know.
And I'm worse than you.
Because I think I will remember. I'll think about things like in July. Someone will say, oh, you know, I really want to get this, and I'll think, oh, that'd be a great Christmas gift. And then Christmas comes around, I'm like, man, I should have put that in my phone because I have no idea what it was.
I don't know what to get this for. Oh, it's absolutely true. And it humbles me when I receive something. I met a person, I think I can say this, a student, but an older student, you know, not an undergraduate or anything. And she gave me these things about brain stuff,
okay? Right.
Little brain things. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about it at the time, but what it was affection. You know, I like you.
I appreciate this.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate this experience, and this is my way of showing it.
Right.
And I have a completely different understanding of this now than I did before. So, for all of you who have given me little gifts, I blanket apology, and I will get better at this. I promise. Especially at home.
It's difficult to do.
I can't wait till my wife sees this.
Yeah. Now, number four are acts of service.
Right.
And so with four, so we've talked about using words of, you know, to show appreciation and affection. We've talked about spending quality time and giving that undivided attention as a sign of affection.
Right.
We've talked about giving small tokens or gifts as ways to show affection. Number four is doing something for the other person.
Right, right.
And so this is, you mentioned earlier in your words, where if it's the woman's responsibility to job to do the cooking, he said that, not me. He said...
No, I said, if you've agreed...
You didn't say that.
Didn't I?
No.
My intention was... That if you wait a minute, I'm not apologizing. I do the cooking in my house, so I'm not apologizing for that. No, I'm not backing down. I do the cooking in my house.
Okay, so
sexist.
So if you do the cooking in the house, an act of service would be if you got home one day and cooking was already done.
Right.
And it's like, oh, we decided to do, or you do the cooking and someone says, hey, you know what? I got the dishes. You know, don't worry about it. Thanks so much for cooking.
This one hit me because I saw it was a man. I was dealing with the. It was a divorce, but I was working with the man, the husband. And one of the recurring themes in our therapy was all of the things that he did that went unacknowledged.
Right.
And the words he would use were, I did it to show her that I care, you know, that I will do this for you.
Right.
He said, but then it became an expectation.
Right.
And it became his job.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to resent that.
Right.
And so be careful with this act because I'm perfectly happy to do these things.
Right.
But it shouldn't become my job.
Right.
And if it does become my job, then I want to go back to number one with words of affirmation.
Right.
You know, that, okay, I'll take this on and I'll do the cooking or I'll do the cleaning or I'll do the yard work or I'll do whatever. I'll take care of the bills. But don't make that my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think couples can get into trouble with this one. So be careful about, make sure you acknowledge that it's an act of service and it doesn't become your job, your chore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So,
'cause it did wreck this marriage.
I mean,
he became so resentful that they eventually divorced.
And you know, and oftentimes acts of service, you know, if one person tries to communicate love through acts of service and the other person doesn't communicate that way.
Right.
Like in my home, my wife, for whatever reason, likes to mow the yard, mow the lawn. She enjoys mowing the lawn. Don't ask me.
You won the wife lottery.
She enjoys mowing the lawn.
She enjoys
so
it?
She does.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because she's going to get resentful.
Here's how I know. The other weekend, I came home early from here, from work, on Sunday. And I said, you know, I came home because, you know, it looks like the yard needs to be mowed, so I'm gonna go out and mow the yard. And she goes, but that's what I do. And I go, I know, but I, you know, it's hot outside and, you know, I wanted to go ahead and do that. And we ended up in a 15-20 minute conversation about how that's something that she enjoys doing and she didn't want me to communicate in that way. And so instead of mowing, she would have preferred for me to do the edging and weed eating and stuff like that. And so I went out and did that. So
I thought maybe I was going to sew buttons back on the shirt.
No.
Because
I am not good at that.
Finish the needle point.
I'm not good at that. But so you have to be able to communicate in a way to know, again, if that's the way that in which your partner wants to communicate love.
And you need to acknowledge, and it's good to acknowledge. So even though she's doing that, you still should acknowledge.
Right.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's difficult.
And give your wife my wife's cell phone number.
I'm not. I don't know if I want that to happen. Because, well, yeah.
So. I don't know that my wife knows where the lawnmower is.
But she doesn't, that's not what she does.
Because that's not her job. That's right. Not her chore. Right?
Right.
It didn't become her chore.
So with acts of service, you have to make sure that, you know, if your partner communicates in that way, it's a
that's
great
right.
way to show appreciation. You know, mm-hmm. hey, I know that you needed to run to the post office or to the bank, but you know what? I'm going that direction. Let me do that for you
yeah.
so that you don't have to make a special right. trip out.
Yeah, it's a way of saying I love you.
Right.
And you yeah. have to.
But you have to know that that's what they want to hear.
That's what they mean. That's what they intend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the fifth one, number five, mm-hmm. the fifth and final one on the list is physical touch.
Right.
And so this is the actual, you know, it's not necessarily physical intimacy from the perspective of you know, private time in the bedroom or anything like that. This can be, you know, holding hands while you're walking
that's
in
right.
public, or this mm-hmm. could be, you know, rubbing each other's back, or it could be any form of just a hug. It could be any form of physical contact, and that is the way that the person communicates
that's
love
right.
and affection.
That's right. And I think it's tragic when I see couples and one of them wants physical touch and the other just doesn't do that.
Right.
And I don't know why, because that's one of the ways that I communicate.
Right.
But you're right. It's not. This is the simple touch that
mm-hmm.
we, you know, holding
mm-hmm.
hands.
Right.
Just touching somebody on the shoulder. Just make that physical contact. You know,
right.
we learned years ago, Tiffany Field
mm-hmm.
was a neonatologist in Miami, and she was the one who discovered neonatal massage.
Right, right.
You know, that touch, we put these infants, neonates, into glass boxes.
Right.
And there's no touch.
Right.
And they start to develop failure to thrive because
right.
there's no human contact.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the first to discover that by touching them and by massaging them, that their outcomes are better.
Right.
You know, so even in neonates,
mm-hmm.
We need physical touch. And I was a strong believer in that. But over time, you learn that not everybody
right.
communicates that way. That
exactly.
Some people don't want to hold hands.
Right.
It's not because they don't love you.
Right.
It's just that's not the language that they speak.
Right. And I think that that's a good sort of segue into, you know, how this is used.
Right.
And maybe the importance of couples kind of going in and taking this test, taking the quiz
right.
to figure out what your love language is. Because what happens when you have you speak two different languages?
Right. Right.
When you speak two different languages and you don't know it,
that's
where you're getting to lots of problems.
That's the problem, because what happens to couples is if somebody's a gift giver
mm-hmm.
and the other person isn't,
right?
Because and it's usually background, you
right.
know. You know, don't give me gifts. Show me you love me.
Right.
By giving you gifts, I am showing that.
Right.
That's how I do show my love. But if you don't know that,
right.
if you don't know that these are ways of saying, each one of these is a way of saying I love you.
Right.
Okay. They're equal
mm-hmm.
in value.
Right.
But if you don't know it,
right.
you're going to miss it. So one partner shows affection by giving gifts. If you don't interpret that as I love you, chances are you're going to be saying, this means nothing to me.
Right.
But it should.
Right.
Okay. And that's the mistake that we make.
Right.
That you negate
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
other's gesture.
Right.
And that's when you start to have problems.
Right. Yeah. So learning what your love language is
mm-hmm.
will help you better communicate
that's
what
right.
you're doing. So just using an example, you know, if one partner is a gift giver and the other person needs physical touch,
mm-hmm.
then what happens is the gift giver is going to be giving gifts, and the person who receives them, you know, they may want a hug for the gift,
right.
or they may want, you know, some of that physical
right.
touch. And if the other person isn't as welcoming of that, if it's
right.
if it's felt as cold, then, you know, then it starts to create some division,
mm-hmm.
Divisiveness between the two.
Right.
And then the person with physical touch wants to show their affection by hugging, or, you know, when they walk in the
mm-hmm.
door, they want a hug or a kiss or something. And if the gift giver doesn't do that,
respond,
because that's not
right.
what they're into,
right.
again, it kind of furthers that divide between
mm-hmm.
the two people, and you you really start to have resentment. You have, it's such a profound misunderstanding because you're both trying to communicate the same thing,
right,
but just in very, very different ways.
Mm-hmm. Miscommunication,
right,
which is what causes relationships to fall apart.
Right.
I had another thought as I was going through this. We often say to couples who are forming a relationship, we see couples who are just in the early stages of a relationship. They're thinking about marriage, but they begin to struggle with the relationship. And one of the things we often say is, this is the best your relationship is ever going to be,
right,
in the early stages.
Right.
Okay, and we say that routinely.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the early stage of a relationship, you're using all five languages.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're doing everything. You're buying gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying how great she looks.
Right.
You're telling him how wonderful he is.
Right.
You're speaking all five languages during the early phases of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
As the relationship matures, rather than developing an understanding of these, they start to become liabilities,
right,
because you start to drop out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you stop complimenting,
right?
Okay, or you stop hugging,
right,
or you stop affirming, or you stop doing things. I mean, when you're in a when you just start a relationship, you'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You'll do all the work,
right?
Okay?
Yeah.
But over time,
you can't sustain that.
You don't sustain it, and that's when relationships begin to unravel.
Right.
But if you realize that that's happening,
right,
that during the early stage, I'm using all five languages. Years later, I'm using one or two of them,
right,
okay, and we're miscommunicating on those one or two.
Yeah.
So it gives you a nice, this gives a therapist a wonderful tool,
right,
to get people back on into a similar place,
right,
a similar language.
Yeah, I was thinking one of the ways that I think I might start using this with couples is, you know, certainly have them fill it out for themselves,
right,
but have each partner fill it out from what they view from the other person.
The other person. Right.
So, you know, fill it out as if you were your wife, and how would you, what do you think?
What
and,
do you think your partner's speaking?
And then you can match them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a really interesting way of seeing how well people align.
Right. I think it has great therapeutic value.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole concept is because it's so easy to understand, you know, and we really do.
Right.
Speak these five different languages.
Right. So I took the quiz.
You did?
Yes. I took the quiz, and it gives you a score in each of the five areas. Not surprising, based upon what we were just talking about a minute ago.
You scored zero on all of them.
I don't communicate.
He doesn't communicate his affection to anybody.
No, I did score zero on receiving gifts.
Because it doesn't matter to you. Doesn't matter to you.
No.
That's exactly where I would predict that mine would be similar, not identical, but similar. But I would predict that would be the last one on my list too.
Yeah.
Because it just, I just don't, you know, when I, when my kids say, what do you want for Christmas, or what do you want for your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I want your forgiveness for all the mistakes that I made. Like, that's it. I don't have that many,
yeah.
I don't want very much.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess.
Yeah.
But so, that would be the last on my list.
Right.
What's next to the last?
The next to the last are acts of service.
So people don't have to do anything for you.
No.
Or you don't want to do things for others. What's that say?
It's that I don't, like, the questions that it was asking was, do you like it best when you know, your partner does something for you that you don't have time to do, or that your partner.
It was what you were receiving, not what you were giving.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. Well, there's a little bit of both, but but yeah. So to me, you know, I don't know. I'm just the type of person that I tend to take care of. Yeah.
You do things for yourself.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I do that. I think I do that personally and professionally.
Yeah, I have to go in and take it because I want to do things for others, but I do most of my own. I mean,
right.
I do things for myself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the next one?
The next one up.
Physical touch.
Number three was physical touch. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's probably true.
But my top two, and they were very close. At 10 and 9.
They're almost that. They're almost the same.
Yeah, 9 is quality time,
right.
And 10 is words of affirmation.
Right.
And so what it makes me feel like is that mine must be, and I don't know that I would have predicted it going in, my two languages primarily focus on communication and that interaction, that interpersonal interaction.
I've been asking you, as you go through these on yours, is it what you want to receive or what you give?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it just hit me that we, in the article, it reminds us, and I think this also has incredible therapeutic value, we want to receive what we give.
Right.
The language that we use is what we want to receive.
Right.
And I think that also has enormous clinical value.
Yeah.
Because if you are a words of affirmation person, that's what you give. That's how you express your love. That's what you want to receive.
Right.
Words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's giving you, your last one is gift giving. That doesn't have a lot of valence for you. It doesn't have a lot of value. You don't really value that much. I mean, you appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. But you want words of affirmation.
Right.
Okay. And so you need to, so couples need to remember that.
Right.
That this person's still saying, I love you. And just because she's not, he or she is not saying it the way you like, doesn't mean you're not getting, that you're not getting words of affirmation. It's just in a different form.
Right. So what's important here is that you figure, once you know what your language is, and as you said, you know, the language that you want to receive as well as the language that you're sharing.
Right.
Once you have an idea about that for yourself, but also for your partner, then that's when we have to work to adjust. Because I think it will be work for me. And this would not happen in my family because I don't think it would happen because I feel like I know my wife well enough. Gift receiving would be low on her list as well. If it wasn't, and that was at the top of her list.
Words of affirmation and her 10 was gift giving?
That would be a lot of, I would have to do a lot of work to figure out how to best do that.
Because you would be receiving gifts. And you'd have to reinterpret that as I love you.
Right.
But you would also have to give gifts, which is something that doesn't come naturally to you.
Right.
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 Wow.
And then she would be doing
maybe that's the
other side.
Maybe that's what they mean by marriages. Relationships take a lot of work.
It does.
You know, because this translates all that work into specific actions.
Right. Absolutely.
And interpretations.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we ended with this one.
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting model for
really
relationships.
Is, right. This is a very useful, I think it would be really useful for therapists and counselors.
Yeah, So we certainly encourage you to jump on there. You know, we're not affiliated with Gary Chapman in any way or anything like that, but it's a fantastic model and way to, if nothing else, it introduces a way to think about your relationship and to engage in some strategies for improving the way that you communicate.
And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? I'm thinking of my children who are older teenagers and young adults. None of them are married or in, I don't know whether they're in serious relationships or not, but if they know this, this would be a useful tool for them to carry into their relationship world. So we may talk about that this weekend in our household.
Absolutely. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Well, great. So that's it.
Very useful.
Yeah.
Very good.
So check out the websites that we have linked in the show notes and let us know what you think. Love to hear what your love language is. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychRidge podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.